Thank you, Brother Steve. All right. I hope everybody's had a good week, and I want to thank you for those that came Wednesday night, and we had a great service and a great time of fellowship, and it was good to see Seth and Allison and the kids, and I tell you, those kids sure are growing like weeds, and appreciate they've made it home Thursday evening safe, and so, but we appreciate them coming, they did several things, around the church and spent some time in Jackson doing a couple different things, and so so glad that that group was able to come. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 28 and then chapter 3. So, titled this morning's message, What's It All About? What's it all about? What do I need to know? And so our kids, most of them have gone back to school this week. They've all said they had a good week. So, of course, it was just the first 2 days. So, I know Leslie, when she got home Thursday, laid down, took a nap for a couple hours because she was wore slap out. Being back to school, and probably maybe some of the kids did. And the rest of you will be going back to school before too long, and we'll have that good joy. But I know in a lot of classes, I hope church and Sunday school aren't like this, but what's the point? What is the point? I asked that in algebra class. And, I've turned 50 this year. I don't know that I really have ever used algebra. I may have, but just don't know it. There's a lot of things in life that you don't realize that you're using, but you're using it. But it hasn't proven to be all that useful to me, I can tell you that. But there are some things in school you have to know, but oftentimes what do students ask? Leslie, the number one question she gets asked, I guarantee, without even asking her what it is. What's going to be on the test? That's exactly right. They don't, the only thing they want to know is tell me the bare minimum of what I need to know. What's the most important part, teacher? And the most important part to those students is what's going to be on the test. And so John here, as he's writing this letter, that as I told you, I think last week or maybe the week, it's really probably a series of sermons that John preached that was also written down. But he's getting here to wrapping up. We're at the midpoint, really, of this letter. And John is in the middle of it telling us this is what it means to follow Jesus. And so hopefully after this morning's message, we'll have a good idea of what it means to follow after Jesus. So would you look with me beginning in verse 28 of chapter 2. It says, "And now, little children, abide in faith, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, he shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil is sin from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was a wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love the brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid his life down for us. And we also ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are the truth, that we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence in God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps the commandment abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. So John tells us in the middle of this letter, what's it all about? What's the big deal? You know, we tend to make things a lot more complicated than they really need to be.
Thank you.
All right. All right, thank you. What would I do without those guys? All right, so now we're back on track. I think I was loud enough. Everybody at least that was here in the auditorium knows what I was saying. And maybe those on Facebook can figure it out. But Jesus said, listen, if you're saved, it shows. So our salvation is based only upon the work of Christ. It is not based on your works. But John's saying, and Jesus said the same thing, by the way, if you are saved, it shows. And so that's where I was going with Jesus in the garden and this leader. What do I have to do to be saved? Jesus said there's two things. First is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, love God with all that you got. And then he said the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the scripture says that man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He didn't want to love his neighbor. He didn't mind loving God, but he didn't want to love the neighbor because it meant him having to give up something. But understand this, that our salvation, again, is based on the finished work of Christ, not on our work. But there's a second point. So it's about belonging to Jesus, but secondly, it's about behaving like Jesus. Now, anybody that doubts the depravity of man, you just need to spend a couple hours with a two-year-old, and you will be magically convinced of the depravity of mankind. Listen, little baby, they're cute and cut, you know, and they, you know. And even toddlers, even when they're cute. And especially when they're company and you're only around them for 20 minutes. They're pretty cute. My mom watches on Facebook. She could tell us many, many people told her this about me and my brother. You have the two most well-behaved boys I've ever seen. Well, that person was either lying or they haven't met very many boys. Or the truth, me and my brother were on our very best behavior. We could be good for a few minutes. Maybe even a couple hours. But we all, kids, because all kids are, listen, we got in trouble. And we were rascally. And you were too. We should not be surprised when kids act like kids. We shouldn't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. But we also shouldn't be surprised that Jesus Christ expects Christians to act like Christians. He expects us to behave like we're supposed to. And so in our King James and New King James, it misses the point and has led some people astray to believe something the Bible's not teaching. And so let's try to clear it up. John is not saying here that if you sin at all, you're not a Christian. Rather, what John is saying, and it's the sense of the original language, is you cannot have a lifestyle of continuously practicing unrepentant sin. Sin cannot be a characteristic, a practice of your life. It can't be your testimony. It is your testimony before you know Jesus. Before you met Jesus, you may have sometimes been good, but you were a rascal. You were a sinner. You were headed down a path to hell. But Jesus came, and what does John say? John says Jesus came and he canceled that. He came to make another way. He came a way to repair that damage and that brokenness. And so John then says, if you've received that grace and that love and that mercy from Jesus Christ, that's great and you're different, you're changed and you belong to Jesus. But then he says in the next breath, you better act like it. Maybe some of you have said to your children, act like you got some raisin. Jesus expects us, if we're going to claim Him as our Lord and Savior, to reflect Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we become many Jesuses. We're not working on becoming gods. But we are to reflect and do the things that Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, John reminds us of some of it. He says, Jesus came and He laid His life down so you could have eternal life. Jesus came to serve. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so if Jesus came to serve, and we're His family, and we're His children, we're His followers, then that means we ought to be doing the same things He was doing. One of the things He did, He led a sinless life. We ought to be working on that. When the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, He helps us to live a life that's holy and separated. Not that we're perfect and sinless. I think this side of heaven we never get to a sinless state. But we should be sinning less and less as we walk with Jesus. And God continues to grow us and to help us. And so He says, listen, if you're a child of God, sin should not be what people think of when they think of you. When they hear your name, they should not be saying, oh man, that man cusses like a sailor. They shouldn't be saying, oh man, that man's as crooked as, you know, a country road. They should not be saying, whoa, he's, you know, the town drunk. And you may have been some of those things before you met Jesus. But John makes the case you cannot be those things if you have met Jesus. Again, John is not saying that you're perfect and sinless as a child of God, but that sin should not be a normal, everyday occurrence and practice of your life. It should not be what characterizes your life. Rather, what should characterize your life are the things that characterized Jesus' life. Service. Love. Numerous times here in these verses we read, we have the instruction, love one another. And it's not this feel-good, you know, happy hippie love. It's not sexual love. It's not, but it's a God-like love. It's that agape love. And agape love is love that is giving, it's sacrificing. It loves even when the person that's receiving the love doesn't deserve it. That's the kind of love that we're to show to others. And so it's about behaving like Jesus. John makes the point, listen, so if you have means and you have a brother that's hungry and you don't feed him, then you don't belong to Jesus. He's saying that, listen, if we don't put into practice the things we say we believe, then we really don't believe them. There are a lot of people that say they believe that church is important, and yet they ain't in church this morning. And so guess what? Church really isn't all that important to them. We have time and money for the things we want to have time and money for. That's true generally for all of us. And so if Jesus really is important to us, then it's evident in how we live our life. It's evident in how we spend our time. It's evident in how we spend our money. It's evident in how we treat other people. Well, I had some folks to say, hey, listen, we're having an offering at the end of this month and we want you to give generously and sacrificially. Can I tell you, that's nutso to most of the people in this world. Why on earth would you want to do that? Who cares about those people? You don't even know them. And you're never going to meet them. Why would you take your good money and send it there? But to a child of God, we take seriously the Great Commission, that we're to go to all nations and make disciples and teach all people the things of God, and we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we take seriously the things of Jesus and we follow after His example. So yes, Jesus fully loved God. He was God. But He also fully loved other people. And Jesus said, this is what everything hangs on: loving God and loving others. That's what it's all about. So, it's about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, not on what you do. It's not based on your feelings. But if you belong to Jesus, it shows in how you live your life. And John says, hey, listen, if it doesn't show, you don't. And the reality is that, you know, every one of us needs to ask a question we asked in Sunday school this morning. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? The reality, sadly, is if you have to wonder if someone is a Christian or not, most likely they're not. And I'm not saying that we, you know, are condemning people, because that's not our job, that's Jesus' job. But Jesus also said, listen, you'll know them by their fruit. In other words, Jesus said, you can tell if somebody's following me or if they're not. How? How can you tell? By what they do. It's not what they do that makes them a child of God. But they're doing the things that they're doing because they are a child of God. And so we give and we help others. We try to serve others. We're concerned for others as much as we're concerned for ourselves. And so John challenges us with this great admonition. What's it all about? Belong to Jesus. Make sure you belong to Jesus. Settle that. Know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Know that you have made that decision and you've accepted that free gift. But if you've nailed that down, then there's a second part to it. You better show it. You better behave like Jesus. And when we have that admonition, we have that goal, it changes how we live, doesn't it? If we understand we're supposed to talk like Jesus, it changes the words we say. It changes the places we go and the company that we keep. Understand the reality, the admonition of what it's all about. It really does boil down to those two things: belong to Jesus and live like Him. It's not that complicated, folks. It's not 1,000 different check boxes that you got to make sure you go through. It's not 45 steps. It's not even 12 steps. It's 2. It boils down to those 2 simple things. And I'm thankful for that. I hope you are too. That's pretty good. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace that we are born into this world, children of this world, children of darkness. But by the work that You did on the cross of Calvary, we are able to become children of light. Lord, what a great thing that is, Lord. What a marvelous thing it is that we can be called the children of God. Lord, if there's someone here today that that can't say that, would you help them today to accept that wonderful truth? You have paid the price for them, and all they have to do is accept that. They have to acknowledge their sin and that they need forgiveness and salvation, and believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross of Calvary and shed your innocent blood for the sin debt of whosoever, and then confess that. Believe in their heart that you're the Son of God, that you paid our sin debt. You rose again on the third day. And all they need to do is receive that gift. Help them to do that today. But Lord, for us that have nailed that down, then we have this second thing to consider. Are we behaving like it? Is there evidence? Lord, we thank you that you don't hold us to a standard of perfection, but you do hold us to a standard of holiness, that we're to be growing in you. And the reality is we grow like you by doing the things that you did. So help us to do that, Lord. Forgive us when we don't. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God spoke into your heart and there's a decision you need to make today, what a great day, what a great time, what a great place. Well, we're here together in the Lord's house to make that decision. So let's sing together, Are You Washed in the Blood?